Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
That makes me want to shout. I got something that tells me what it's all about. I got soul and I'm super bad. I got soul and I'm super bad.
This is Soundcheck. I'm Joel Meyer, sitting in for John Schaefer. After James Brown died last Christmas Day, the tributes began dropping fast and furious, just like one of his funky beats. Now he's getting the Ivy League treatment. Last night, Princeton University kicked off a two-day symposium dedicated to the Godfather of Soul's music and legacy. It includes panel discussions on Brown's musical, political, and social impact. Joining us on the phone is the event's organizer, Daphne Brooks. She's an associate professor of English and African American Studies at Princeton. Daphne, welcome to Soundcheck.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
No problem. So what makes the hardest working man in show business Ivy League material?
Oh, gosh. Well, we believe he's more than Ivy League material. What we're really thrilled about is that this is the first scholarly event of its kind to explore the musical legacy of the hardest working man in show business. And we really feel like it's time to respond to these many other fantastic academic conferences that have been held at institutions from Dartmouth to Stanford to the University of Minnesota to LA's Skirball Center about a certain brilliant, shape-shifting singer-songwriter whose name I won't repeat, but who is in multiplex cinema theaters from coast to coast right now and who receives so much attention for good reason, but we thought it was time to try and expand critical discussions of popular music culture to include other brilliant architects of American music, especially someone like James Brown, who transformed the sonic texture of American life from the mid-1950s through the time of his death last Christmas.
You alluded to a movie that's out in theaters right now, I'm Not There, a movie about Bob Dylan and the different eras that he went through and how he's portrayed. Are you sort of saying that there's sort of a race issue at play in how we've viewed our pop heroes in the past, like Bob Dylan versus James Brown?
I'd hate to simplify it to race. I think what we're talking about is a much more complicated way in which rock music criticism has been written and passed on, a much more complicated way in which popular music studies has been developed and cultivated at the academic level. I think what's happened is a certain very narrow canon of musicians have been lionized at the expense of other musicians. And so this would have to do with not just race, but class and gender and sexuality as well.
So last night you moderated an opening panel. It had Robert Christgau on the panel, the dean of rock critics and academics from Columbia and USC.
Mm-hmm.
You had James Brown's former tour manager on that panel. James Brown has a very long career. There are some very high highs and some very low lows.
Yes.
How did you assess his overall legacy?
Yeah, well, it was exciting to have that kind of a combination of academics, rock critics, and then someone who was on the ground with James Brown throughout his extraordinary career. And we were really trying to think about both turning back to the music, which sometimes gets lost, especially Mr. Leeds discussed the ways in which the kind of caricature of James Brown that, you know, reared its ugly head as a result of many, you know, vicissitudes in his life and career in the later years, you know, threatens to obscure the just extraordinary musical and performative legacy that he had already, you know, absolutely reinforced and extended, you know, in the earlier parts of his career. So we were trying to shift back the discussion to think more about not only that early work, but, you know, how that early work now continues to matter in contemporary popular music culture. So it was a really exciting and lively discussion that's continued on this morning as well. We just finished a panel on black power, black masculinity, and the politics of funk, and we talked about, in particular, his role as a dancer and his role in terms of thinking about patriarchy in songs like Papa Don't Take No Mess. It's been really a diverse, interdisciplinary kind of discussion that we're really excited about.
We're talking to Daphne Brooks. She's an associate professor of English and African American Studies at Princeton. She helped head up Ain't That a Groove, The Genius of James Brown, a symposium, a two-day symposium going on at Princeton University. yesterday and today. You mentioned a little bit earlier a panel that looked at masculinity. There's also another panel that looks at feminist readings of James Brown. And I have to mention, some of the best things about your program schedule are the titles that you created for your panels.
Yeah, we're good at that, academic.
This particular one is called Mama Don't Take No Mess, Black Feminist Readings of James Brown. But on a little bit more of a serious angle, he was a guy who was a symbol of the civil rights movement, empowering for African Americans everywhere. But he also was repeatedly arrested for domestic violence. How do you balance that in a feminist reading of James Brown?
Mm-hmm. Well, we're looking to our fabulous panelists to really address that issue of, you know, the misogyny and the biographical details of James Brown's life, as opposed to what he was doing musically that could be potentially appropriated by the likes of brilliant funk musicians like Bette Davis, Chaka Khan, Grace Jones, Michelle, and Dege Ocello. I know that Greg Tate, a seminal music critic from The Village Voice, is going to be talking about all of those musicians. And I imagine that what, you know, he's going to be really trying to consider is the ways that there were certain aspects of James Brown's musical repertoire that black women who fashioned themselves as feminist, as resistant to patriarchy, could actually utilize within their own kind of musical stylings. And certainly today in our discussion this morning, Professor Jason King from NYU talked a great bit about Sharon Jones of the Dap Kings and the ways that she is perhaps probably, you know, the greatest sort of legacy of James Brown now. And what does it mean that we can imagine female musicians actually finding a space in his musical life to potentially speak back to the problematic elements of his personal life?
So, you're taking a very academic look at the legacy of James Brown. Who is this symposium for? Is it for academics, or is it for music fans? You've got Questlove of the Roots there. You've got former band members from James Brown's band there. Who is the conference for in the big picture?
I'm glad that you mentioned that, because we're really hoping that people will still come out. This is a free event. Questlove is on our afternoon panel from 1 to 3 p.m. He'll be engaging in a Q&A in the evening with Fred Wesley and Pee Wee Ellis, legendary former band members of James Brown's band. And so we're trying to really to keep this dialogue open and to be able to speak across different disciplinary boundaries, to just think about the ways that music, James Brown's music, matters in each of our own professional careers, but also personal lives. And there are quite a few people from the community here who are just thrilled to be in dialogue with the musicians. And I do want to stress, this may not have been on the version of the program that you saw, but we want to get out the fact that there is another program this evening that begins at 8:30 in 101 McCormick Hall on campus that is featuring James Brown's former tour manager, Alan Leeds, as well as Fred Wesley and Pee Wee Ellis and Questlove.
Daphne, we have time for just one more question. You know, you're in the second day of a two-day conference on James Brown. Mm-hmm. What do you want this symposium to accomplish when all is said and done tomorrow?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, great question, important question. What we hope is that this is not the last type of gathering, and that this is not a gathering that is confined merely to James Brown. We want to see to open up these kinds of gatherings to focus on other forgotten, lost musicians who don't have the backing of archives to create these sort of celebrated ways to focus on what they contributed to American culture. So we want symposia on Tina Turner, on La Lupe, on Bette Davis, on Etta and Aretha. We really hope that this is a turning of the tide.
We've been talking to Daphne Brooks. She's an associate professor of English and African American Studies at Princeton. She's heading up Ain't That a Groove? The Genius of James Brown, a two-day symposium that's going on at Princeton University. Daphne, thanks so much for being on Soundcheck.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
As if James Brown at Princeton wasn't enough, tune into Soundcheck on Monday for Racket, a band formed by two Princeton University professors. They describe their sound as Cole Porter meets prog and punk. Next up on today's show, singer-songwriter Dar Williams will perform live in our studio. Stay with us.